Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. We've been traveling the historic road through the book of Acts. I hope you're enjoying our journey. That's a road that's quickly coming to an end in a couple more chapters. Now, last time, the Apostle Paul spoke for God before the most powerful and influential leader of his day, Governor Felix and his wife. And then 2 years later, as we'll see today in Acts 25, he presents the gospel to the next governor, Festus. So find your place in God's Word, and Greg and I have got a little bit of time to share a couple of letters from the U.S. and Canada on the Bible bus.
Yeah, I wish we had more than a little time because we get so many wonderful, wonderful responses. And by the way, to all of you listening, thank you for telling your story because there are some of us need to hear your story, like this one from Doreen in Michigan. You want to read that, Steve?
Yeah, she writes, "One day I turned on the car radio and heard Dr. McGee's voice and started listening. I looked him up online and I wasn't sure if I wanted to hop aboard because I didn't want to make a commitment and not be able to follow through. I had just retired and you were starting in Genesis, so I gave it a try. I have read the Bible on my own and have gone to Bible studies. I found Dr. McGee's lessons to help me grow spiritually. I wake up every morning excited to listen to the next lesson. I also joined the World Prayer Team, and that is a wonderful blessing. Thank you so much for this program."
Wow, isn't that a great picture of how God uses our humble efforts to just hold out the Word of God, and he just meets a person at just the right time, just as she's retiring. I just love the way God weaves these stories together.
Yeah, he is so faithful. How about, Greg, you read this next one from Noreen in Tennessee.
Yes, I have been listening to the program for 15 years off and on, according to my work schedule. When the pandemic hit, I found myself completely out of work, so my earnest time of study began. I love the Word of God, and Dr. McGee has really helped me see Jesus on every page. I'm slowly getting back to work, and I'm currently doing respite care with a 94-year-old gentleman who is struggling with dementia. He has been a Christian for 70-plus years, and his mother tongue is German. Because of the dementia, he has bouts of mild agitation and quite often reverts back to German, making conversation difficult. But thanks to your German studies, I have been playing the Gospel of John for him. He understands it, and peace and joy settles over him. His mind may be diminishing, but his spirit is alive and well and needs to be fed.
Wow. Thank you, Noreen. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for your faithfulness in serving that 94-year-old gentleman. And thank you for being a testimony to us. You know, a lot of times during COVID, people either binge-watched whatever that guy was, whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Tiger King.
The Tiger King there, or something. Yeah. Did you watch that?
No, I just saw it, Steve. Okay, I wouldn't engage
You know,
in that,
either squandered that time or turned around and used it fruitfully. Yeah. And I think that's such an encouraging thing that when difficult times come, when suddenly life gives you a break, whether it's an illness or some type of a disability or job loss, spend that time in God's Word.
Yes.
And that's what she did.
Amen.
Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we rejoice to see your work because we do our part, but we know you do all of the heavy lifting. You move people's spirits and their circumstances, and we just marvel when people testify to the ways that you have allowed our studies to break into their lives. And we pray you would continue to do that for your glory, not for ours, not for any human being, Lord, but that you would be glorified, that many would be drawn to the Savior, not just here in North America, but all around the globe. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are seeing Paul down in Caesarea in prison, and he has apparently much freedom granted him there. And he has appeared before this man Felix in the presence of Tertullus, the prosecuting attorney, and Ananias, the high priest, who've come down from Jerusalem with their coterie of helpers, religious leaders. And Paul defends himself. Well, Felix immediately can see that the charge brought against Paul could not stand at all, and Felix should let him off, but he doesn't because he's first of all a politician, and he doesn't do what is right but what is politic as far as he is concerned. He has a private interview with Paul, and Paul apparently really touched him, but he postponed the day. And the very interesting thing is it's been proven out in the history of the world for 1900 years that You can keep postponing making a decision for Christ until you come to the place when you can't make a decision for him at all, and certainly not on the human plane that you've completely turned from him. That's the reason that most decisions that are made for Christ are made by young people. I'm sure that most of the folk I'm talking to today made a decision when they were young. We are seeing many old people come to Christ also. But actually, the greatest percentage come in youth. And that's the reason we ought to try to reach the young people. Also, that's the reason that a person need not think because he gets older that he's becoming smarter. He's just becoming more hardened to the gospel and reaches the place. I heard this years ago concerning the late Dr. George Truett, the great prince of the pulpit in Dallas, Texas, that when he had, I think it was his 50th anniversary there, a lawyer friend of his came to him. He was not a Christian. And he came to him at the celebration, and he said, "George, you and I came here to Dallas at the same time. You were a young man. I was a young lawyer." And he said, "I must confess that when I first heard you, that you moved me a great deal." He said, very frankly, he said, "There were nights I couldn't sleep." But he said, as the years wore on, he said, the day came, and he says, "It's true today that I can listen to you. I enjoy hearing you, but you don't disturb me at all." And he laughed about it. He didn't realize how tragic it was, because he even added to that and said, "And you're a much greater preacher today than you were at the beginning." Well, that is the tragedy, and it was the tragedy of that man, without him realizing that he actually had come to the place where he had always said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." But that time never did come for the lawyer, and it has not come for a great many folk. Now let me conclude that 24th chapter by reading now verse 26. "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." He is a clever politician and a crook, by the way. He hoped he'd be bribed, and then he would let Paul off. Now, imagine this. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound, or show him a favor. In other words, he's a politician to the very end. He left Paul in prison. Either Paul's guilty or he's not guilty. And if he's not guilty, he should be freed. If he is guilty of what they said, then he should have been punished for it. And the fact it was treason in that day, it would have cost him his life. Now, one or the other should have been done, but he should not have been left in prison for 2 years. Now, will you notice, as we come to chapter 25, we see now Paul before Festus. And Festus is the governor that just succeeded this man. I'm reading now. "Now, when Festus was coming to the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither." Now you can see that this man Festus, he understood. I'm of the opinion that Felix had told him. He said, "This man Paul, we've got in prison," and I think he explained the circumstances. And he said to him, he said, "Now we had to bring him down here. He'd been put to death." And so when he gets word that they want him to be brought to Jerusalem, he said, "I won't bring him up here. I'm going back to Caesarea myself. I don't want to wait up here at Jerusalem." Here's another man didn't like Jerusalem. That is, he liked Caesarea much better. Now, we've seen Paul before the mob on the steps of the castle in Jerusalem. We've seen him before the Sanhedrin. We've seen him before Felix. Then the private interview he had with Felix and his wife Drusilla. And apparently there were other meetings. Now before Festus, the new governor. And this is getting to be sort of a habit, wouldn't you think? And Paul appearing before these rulers. And this certainly must have been rather tedious for Paul, something to try his patience. However, he rejoiced in the opportunity accorded him in testifying before these high political figures of the Roman Empire. Because you see, when God apprehended Paul, he announced that this son and servant of his, that is Paul, would bear his name before rulers and before kings. Now, this is being fulfilled here. And we'll see King Agrippa next time. Paul will appear before him. And Paul does each time with a great deal of zest and excitement in telling about what Jesus Christ has done for him. Now, you'll recall that last time we saw Paul before Felix and his wife Drusilla, there Paul witnessed a good confession of Jesus Christ. Felix trembled in the wonderful grace of God. But the rascality, the cupidity, and covetousness of this man triumphed. He had his chance. He wanted a bribe, not salvation. For 2 years, Paul languished there in prison. He was detained. Those are silent years in the life of the Apostle Paul, but perhaps the great apostle chafed under it all. Nevertheless, the hand of God was manifested, and Festus succeeded to the place of governorship. And the enemies in Jerusalem, as we see here, immediately turned to the new governor to have Paul brought to Jerusalem. On the way, they intended to ambush the party, slay Paul. Whether Festus was aware of this matters not. I think he was. However, he refused to accede to their demand. He requested that they come down to Caesarea, which they did. Now, let's move down here, and this is what happened. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me, and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Now, Paul will defend himself. Let me turn that around. Paul is going to present the gospel to this man also. And notice, if you want to call it a defense, what Paul does here. We find that Paul is brought in. The Jews came down from Jerusalem. They stood round about, laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself. Now, Paul is permitted to speak, and we have his message again. It's called his defense. Now, will you notice? While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Now, you'll notice the cupidity of this man Festus. Oh, he's a rascal also. And Paul is in the midst of a den of not only thieves, but rascals. Now notice verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. Now there are those who think Paul made a mistake here. They think that Paul should not have appealed to Caesar, that he should have just carried his case here before Festus. But my friend, don't you see that had Paul acceded to the desires of Festus, and Festus was going to take him up to Jerusalem. And apparently he was maybe receiving something under the table by way of bribe from those in Jerusalem. And I find that Paul did not make a mistake here. I'm in disagreement with these who think that Paul did make a mistake. I'm rather reluctant to criticize Paul, by the way. Paul was a Roman citizen. And he exercised his right. It was a normal thing for him to do, because to go to Jerusalem would have meant he'd have been put to death. Now, Paul does not purposefully make himself a martyr. In fact, he avoided that. My friend, there are a great many people today that they wear a hair shirt, and God didn't give it to them. Now, don't wear a hair shirt unless God gives you one. Great many people today, they like to take the position of a martyr. And I've had any number of people that have told me that, well, you can just rejoice that you have cancer because now you can suffer for Christ and maybe die for him. Well, I want you to know, friends, that's not my position. I want to get rid of it, and I want to live. I think that there's something wrong with a person, not only spiritually, but mentally, that feels like that they want to put on a hair shirt and lie on a cold slab. Now, Martin Luther tried that and found out it didn't work. God had appeared to Paul 2 years previously and promised him a trip there. The Lord Jesus said, you're going to appear before me in Rome. You see, God said you're going to appear before kings and rulers, and that's what's taking place. And Paul had said to the Romans, you pray that by the will of God that I might come unto you. And friends, I think he went to Rome by the will of God, but he was in chains. That was God's method for him. Will you notice, though, here, verse 11, I detect just a note of impatience at the injustice of these Roman officials in detaining him without adequate charges and proof. Let me read verse 11. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now, don't you detect there just a little note of impatience? Rome was noted for its justice, and Paul respected authority, and he's making a legal appeal. He's resting on his Roman citizenship. And you'll recall that the night that our Lord was arrested, that John knew the folk there, and they knew him. He entered in, warmed himself. He didn't deny the Lord, but Simon Peter did. The very interesting thing is that for some of us, God will lead us one way, and for others, he'll lead us another way. And this man, Paul, is a Roman citizen. Man said to me, he and his wife are very wonderful Christians. The Lord blessed them materially. And they built a lovely home, a home in which I always delight to visit. And he told me that one of the reasons he wanted to open his home and use it as much for Christian witness and testimony was because he felt under conviction that he had a nice home. Well, I told him, I said, ever occurred to you that God bless you materially, that you could build a nice home? And he knew you were the kind of man that wouldn't use it for him. I said, you can pillow your head each night in sweet sleep, knowing that you're in the will of God, and thank him for that lovely home. And the Lord didn't give me a home like that, and I'm of the opinion he doesn't intend me to use my home for that type of thing. May I say to you, what's the Lord done for you, friend? Whatever it is, you should use it for him. I had a man that was city commissioner when I was pastor in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know something? I never paid a parking ticket the whole time I was there. I just always took him up to his office and left him on his desk. He took care of him. Somebody says, you shouldn't have done that. Well, I want to ask you a question. Why shouldn't I have done that? As a privilege I had then. You want to know something? I don't have that privilege now at all. I'm very careful, I must admit. And I also want to say that I don't think the Lord wants me now to spend time parking and going in and seeing folks. In that day, it was essential that I do that. May I say to you, whatever the Lord has done for you to put in your hand, use it for him. What's that in your hand, Moses? What's a rod? Well, use it for God. That's the whole thought, my beloved. And I think that's the whole thought that's here. Paul's a Roman citizen. That's the rod in his hand. He's going to use it. And I say amen to him. I don't think Paul made a mistake here at all. Now, will you notice what happens here? Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And the whole thought here is just simply this, that this man Festus is forced to concur with the apostle Paul at this particular point. Now, let me read verse 13 of chapter 25 of Acts. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. Well, you see, the new governor has come into office, so the king comes over to visit him. You know, I have a notion these politicians, they work together, you know. They all belong to the same party. Now, will you notice, I'll read verse 14. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. Now, you see, he stayed there quite a few days, by the way. He was there several days. And during that time, they ran out of conversation. You know, even a king and a governor are going to run out of things to talk about. And I think that in a lull in the conversation, Festus says, oh, by the way, I should tell you about a prisoner that we have here. It's an odd, unusual case. His name is Paul the Apostle. He was been arrested and was brought down here by Felix. And Felix left him over. And I don't know what to do with him other than now he's appealed to Caesar. And I'd like for you to know about it. Now, notice as they continue their conversation, at least Festus, he says, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. And that's Acts 25:15. Now notice verse 16. To whom I answered, it's not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Now, I'd like to call your attention especially to this for the very simple reason that we think that Roman justice was not justice. Now, it went awry in the case of the Lord Jesus and also in the case of Paul the Apostle. But it was because of crooked politicians. It was not because of Roman law. Roman law was that, and we have it today, that no man can be sentenced to death until he's brought into the presence of his accusers and that the thing they accuse him of be established. Now, that had not taken place in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, will you notice verse 17? Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I suppose, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, that is, their own religion, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And now you see what Paul has said to this man Festus. What did he present to him? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now listen, verse 20. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Now, Agrippa apparently had heard about Paul, and he wanted to hear him, and he wanted to know about the charge and wanted to know what Paul would have to say, so that they've arranged now for the meeting. And I'll just mention this, and next time we're going to see the meeting of Paul before King Agrippa. Prophecies being fulfilled. He's going to appear before kings. Verse 23, and I leave off with that. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Oh, what a scene this was. Where did a preacher ever have a greater audience than this man? And where was a greater sermon ever preached? Now, we're going to look at that next time. And you know, I just can't wait to see what Paul is going to say. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Can't wait to see how King Agrippa will receive Paul? Well, you can read ahead through Acts 26, verse 4. To find out more about this fruitful ministry, you can call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll meet you back here on the Bible Bus next time. I'll be sure to save you a seat.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?